Okay, so for the start-stop button, what we're saying here is that it will only be enabled, so there will only be steps labeled as start-stop button if we are currently in a state that has display timer set to truth, to true. Now, what do we do? Remember, the state can be either reset, running, or stopped. Actually, start-stop button, if the current state is timer mode, if currently the timer is stopped, what should happen? What should now?
Stop.
Okay, so now the timer mode should be started running, right? Now, what happens if the state is reset? What should happen if I press timer if I press start stop? It should run too, right? So this is, we could say here, it also happens if the timer mode is reset. Right? Now, if the in the third case, if it's running, what should happen? Right. It stopped but not reset, right? Okay, so this is our second rule. The next rule is the most complex one, so let's try to go fast over this one. Again, it also needs that we are displaying the timer, right? First. Now, is this button relevant in all states, in all modes, whether it's reset, running, or stopped? Actually, there is one mode in which it doesn't make any sense, which is if it's reset, right? So the reset lab button only does something if the mode, what's it called? Timer mode. Is not reset, right? And what does it do? Let's say that the it's either running or stopped. So what happens if the timer mode is stopped? So if it's stopped, it resets, right? Stopped means it's showing some time and we've stopped it. So we set it to reset, right? Otherwise, this means it's running, it will flip the frozen state, right? From frozen to unfrozen, from unfrozen to frozen. So, what's it called? The timer frozen will be flipped, not timer frozen. And the last thing I have here is the isTimer reset. Does this make sense in any state, whether we're showing the timer or not? and that's a, this is a decision actually, because the spec didn't tell us. But actually, given that this is all the testability I have, this is the only way in which I can test the system, I would like to see, to know whether the timer is running, even if I'm seeing the time currently. Because it does make a difference, right? When I go back to timer, if it was running, it should keep running. So I won't set any condition over it. I'll let Spec Explorer to check whether the timer is reset or not, given that this is done through an API. Spec Explorer is not actually looking at the UI. It's calling a method on the system. So I'll let it call this method at any point, and it should reset, it should return whether the timer is reset or not. That is, whether timer return, whether the timer mode is reset. Does it make sense? So,
is timer reset slash reset mean?
Okay, the question is, why is there a slash in the action label of this rule? And the answer is that the slash character in Spec Explorer is used to represent return values. So what we're saying here with this label is whatever is returned by this rule, consider it the return value of the action. Right? So result stands for the return value of the rule, and the slash means this is what the action should return. Right? Given that this action doesn't have parameters and the rule doesn't have parameters, and that I am using the return value, the result, as return value of the action too, then I could again omit this declaration here, because that's what Spec Explorer will map the rule by default to this action. Okay, so I'm almost ready to explore this model. What I don't have is a machine to explore. And I do have a question. Yes, go ahead.
Why would an action need a return value? I mean, a return value. How would you use that?
Okay, so the question is, why does an action need a return value? So let's go back. The first and easiest answer here is that I'm declaring the methods of the stopwatch. The stopwatch has already been implemented. I'm testing it, and I'm declaring all its methods as actions. And this one here happened to come with a return value, whether I like it or not. So that's the first point, right? Now, the other question, and I want to stress this very much, is the testability of the system. So I am not only creating test cases that will drive my system to do certain things, but also test cases that will observe what the system does and check whether it does what it is expected to do, not just whether it crashes or not, whether it does exactly what it is expected to do. And that expectations can be communicated back from the implementation to the test cases in one of two ways. One of them is a return value. The other one is through events. So that what that means in this case is that the only way in which I can tell whether the stopwatch is behaving correctly or not, in this particular case at least, the way the actions have been defined, is by checking whether the timer is reset or not. That's all I can know from a test case about the stopwatch. And that's very important too, because the state I defined here, the state variables that I had defined before I came into the class, they are not part of the implementation and they have no connection to the implementation. Actually, I have no idea whether the implementation has something like this to track its state. It happens to have something very similar because we wrote both, but it could have been written by someone else, and it could be completely different, right? So this state will be lost actually when I go to testing. The only thing that will stay there are the steps that I've generated through the rules in my model. So the only thing that I will be able to observe about my system and the test about my stopwatch is whether it's reset when it's when my model thinks it should be reset, and whether it's not when my model thinks it shouldn't be. Right? So that's why I have a return value, and of course I have to make sure that the return value of this rule is what my model thinks it should be at that point. Right? Okay. So, what I need to do now is to create at least one machine. Machines are the unit of exploration in Spec Explorer. So the only thing I can explore in Spec Explorer is a machine, and machines are created in the CORD language. So in order to perform an exploration, I need to create at least one machine. Let's call it my model program. It will have no parameters. Machines can have parameters. We will not cover this today. And machines need to be based on configurations. In this case, my model program is based, of course, in the only configuration I have, called config. And then the body of a machine is a behavior. There are several ways in which a behavior can be created. One of them is by using a construct. So I'll use one of the constructs available in Spec Explorer, and you'll see that we have a nice feature. Now we have IntelliSense here in CORD to suggest all the constructs that one can create. It's at least at this point, the IntelliSense, the suggestions here in CORD are limited, but at least in this case I'm getting a suggestion, and the one I'll use is model program. The construct model program builds a behavior based on a set of rule methods, like the ones we have just declared, defined. So I'll construct a model program from a configuration, and I'll use the same, the only configuration I have. This is a mandatory parameter, unfortunately. I'll construct a model program from a configuration. There are other switches that I can provide here, and we do have IntelliSense support for those too. So I can say here where and get the list of possible switches. For example, the namespace switch is a way to limit which, if I have many rules in my model program, but I just want to build a model program from some rules, then I can limit here the namespace that I'm using. In this case, it's not just a namespace. Although it's called namespace, it can be a fully qualified type name. So if I only want to select the rules in one class, I would write the name of the namespace, then dot, and the name of the class, and I would be getting only those rule methods contained in that class. But I will not specify that because I don't need to limit it. In my project, there are only the rules I need. Yes?
Is that syntax the same as link when you do where?
The question is whether the where is the where and the from are related to link in C sharp, and no, they are not related. So where is a way to specify switches and in the context of a construct. And we have a couple more wheres that are more related to link, actually, because they can be predicates. But in this case, the only thing it's used for is switches. And there is another context where I can use where for switches. It's if I want to override some of the switches of a config in a machine declaration, I can say here where, and then any switch that I might have inherited from the declaration, I can override its value here. Right? I won't do this for this machine. I don't need it. Okay, so I'll now switch to Exploration Manager. If you don't have this window in your Spec Explorer installation, then you would go to the Spec Explorer menu and click Exploration Manager to get this window. So Exploration Manager lists the machines that I have created in my CORD script. In this case, I only created one machine, my model program, and I'm ready to explore it. I'll click it and click the explore button, and after some time, I will get the result of exploring my model program, which should be finite. The reason why it's finite, it's a small machine, is basically that my state is finite, right? Let's go back to my state definition here. So the whole universe of possible states is this can be true or false, this can be true or false, and this can be reset, running, or stop. So it's 2 times 2 times 6, which is a not so big number, which I don't know, but someone might know, right? 2 times 2 times 6 should be 24. Oh, times 3, sorry. Then it's 12. So these are all possible states, right? 12 possible states. Will they all show up in my model? Well, not necessarily, because Spec Explorer will start exploring from its initial state, so false, reset, and false, and it will apply rules that will get it to the next state. So if there are no rules that get it to a specific state, then it will never get there. So this number, which was 12, is an upper bound to the number of states. I cannot have more than 12 states. I might have fewer states.
Nico, if one of those state variables had been, say, an integer, would that then take us into an infinite explosion of state?
The very good question that I'm being asked is, what if one of these variables would have been an integer? Would have this by itself, just turning it into an integer, would it have brought us to an infinite state space? And the answer is no, because of the reason I just stated. We won't get to a state unless the rules take us there. So let's say I change the display timer from Boolean to integer, but I only use 0 and 1. So when I change the display timer, I set, if it was 1, I set it to 0, and so 1 minus the current value, then I would have exactly the same number of states, right? So it's not just, so the state definition itself doesn't introduce necessary infinite states. Our rules have to get us to a point where we have infinite states. But yes, if I would have, for example, if I set this to integer and say that the mode button, instead of doing 1 minus display timer, does 1 plus display timer, then I would get not infinite, because we know that integers int is a shortcut for 32-bit integer in .NET. So I would get all the 32-bit, again, a number which is very big. But I don't know. No, it's probably 65,000, right? Is that right?
No.
What is it? Oh, 32. Okay. No, that would be 16. Okay. Thanks. This is on camera, and you all know that I don't know my math. Okay. Good. So, or my arithmetic. Not all my math. I have part of my math. I got it right. So, let's see. Zoom in and see parts of my model. The first thing that you can notice here probably is that the names of the states, or at least the labels that I'm seeing for the states, are very nice. They really show me what the state is, right? I don't need to dig into the state, although I can. Remember that I can always click a state to get the state browser that will show me the contents of the state. Right, so if I click one of these states, I get to see that the display timer here is false, timer mode is running, time frozen is true, and so on. So I can always see the contents of the states. I have a question here.
So is that what the probe is for? When you open it up, it's how you
see. So the question is that what the probe is for? And I've already used it for two things here. So the first thing it can be used for is, you see that when I click one state, I have a probes node. So if I open this probes node, I see the contents of the probe. So this is one way. Perhaps the probe is a complex computation that will give me some information about my state without needing to open my whole state. And remember, this is a very simple flat state, but it could be, it could contain any object model. So it can contain complex data structures. So perhaps I have to let's say that one thing I'm storing here is a tree, and I want to know how many nodes the tree has. If I would have to count the nodes here, I would have to open one by one all the levels of the tree. But I can define a probe, and that's done in the model program. As you see, the probe is computed based on the state in every state, and I could write code that would count the number of nodes in my tree, and then I would see it immediately up here. So one thing the probes are is they are a shortcut, a summary of the state that I can find here, and I can have as many as I want. The other thing I've used my probe for is I've used it in a view, and that's why I can see the contents of the state or the result of the probe, actually, because this is the result of the probe in this state. I can see it as the node, as the state label. And in order to do that, what one has to do is go here to selected view and say select one of the views that one has created, if one has created views. So the first thing is actually one goes to the view editor and creates a new view definition. In this case, what I did, the state's description, that's the name of this view, what it does is it specifies a state description, a name of a probe for the state description. So display state was the name of the probe, the name of the method used for the probe, and that's what I'm setting there. So this is my state descriptions view. And we can see here that these are the possible traces of my stopwatch. So let's go back to to the slides to see some traces, some possible traces, right, of the stopwatch, to understand what is valid and what is not in the implementation. So, for example, let's assume what the model assumes too, that the stopwatch is initially displaying the time and the timer is reset, set to zero. It's not visible and it's set to zero. So is this a valid trace? I push mode button, then I ask, is timer reset? And I get, as a result, true. Is that valid? Yes, it is. Or no? It says it's not. Why? I don't know. I think this is a bug, right? Mode button, it shouldn't change the timer reset. Okay.
It's a bug in PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's a, no, not, it's not a bug in PowerPoint, it's a bug in my PowerPoint. it's a bug in the chair keyboard interface, right? Okay. So next one, I push the mode button, I ask, is timer reset? It says true. I start the timer, and then I ask, is it reset? It says true. Is that correct? It's not, right? Because the timer has started. This seems to be the other way around. Okay, so green means it's not a valid trace. There was no bug.
Nico, after class, we're going to work on math and culture.
Yes, math and culture, right? Okay, so now we have mode button, start, stop, mode, is timer reset? And it says false. Is this okay? Don't. So I've already started the button, the timer. It should be not reset. So false is correct. So it will be red. And now it's future prediction. You have to work on future prediction too. Next, mode button, start, stop, reset. Is reset true? Is that okay? No, it shouldn't. Remember, I started the timer, and now I've frozen it, right? If I press this timer reset, it's not reset. It's just frozen, right? So this should be yellow. Okay, but it's wrong. This one's wrong. And then empty. Is that right or wrong? Well, that's a decision for us to make, right? If we start from scratch, we do nothing, well, to me, it's right. So green. Okay, sorry about that. Sorry about the colors. And here's a concise representation of all possible traces. By now, you know that this is actually the result of model exploration. This is a way to write all possible traces, right? So I start, by the way, gray means initial state. So I start from daytime and reset. And if I push the mode button, I'm now seeing the timer, but it's still reset, and I can go back. And for example, at this point, if I ask if the timer is reset, it will say true, it's reset. Right? And then if I press the start-stop button at that point, it will still show the timer, it will be running. As you can see, all traces are here. And that's the beauty of our model exploration. And I can check this to see after exploration, let's go back to Visual Studio. After exploration, I can check this here to see if there's any difference from what I expected. Right? Okay, so this has shown me that I can explore the model and I can see the contents either in the state browser or in a probe. So far, so good.